Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to pick our rewatch movie for the weekend. We're going to talk about ESPN's plan to do The Last Dance, but white. so The Last Bad Dancer. I don't know.
The last awkward two-step.
The last Cotton Eye Joe.
Dude, but then that song given to us by Australians, right?
Really?
Yeah, Rednecks is like not even American. They're like... I think from, it's something like really,
kind of know that.
From Sweden.
Yeah, they were Scandinavian.
Yeah.
I listened to Cotton Eye Joe on my walks sometimes.
I loved that song. I remember the Jock Jams it was on, I bought the Jock Jams it was on just to get that fucking song.
On my quarantine walk playlist are both Cotton Eye Joe and the Macarena.
On loop.
Wow.
That's actually the whole playlist.
Yeah. My son just discovered the Macarena, and I rediscovered it, and that song still goes. It's pretty good, actually.
I'd hate to just sort of derail this, but aren't the lyrics, if it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd be married a long time ago.
Yeah, there's like a whole story behind the story that we just don't know.
Cotton Eye Joe stole your girl?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why he keeps asking where he came from and where he went.
Because his girl is
shit to settle.
Yeah,
wow.
He's gonna kill Cotton Eye Joe when he finds him.
I mean, it's based on "Hey Joe," which is a song about killing somebody for infidelity. So
there you go.
But it's kind of I sort of love rednecks because somehow like Swedes are being racist against rednecks even in their portrayal of their own group because like the video is. It's like a mix between a Capital One commercial's idea of what like a raider barbarian person was and like whatever shit you can pull together, like a Swedish fucking thrift store to look like a, like redneck guy.
Right.
Oh, man.
Do you think
it looks like this... medieval times for European people who want to know what being in like Appalachia is?
It feels like
you could put in Cotton Eye Joe over that final scene of Midsommar. And get a lot of shit. Get on YouTube. Put that on TikTok, y'all. That's for the TikTok teens.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, this one I'm excited about.
Uh-oh.
Lotion. I'm done with lotion. Wow. We are only oiling. We're oiling only. Only oil wow. now.
Wait, unpack, because I think of all the people in the world, I take your skincare advice the most seriously. So please unpack this.
Okay, so I don't know if y'all have been noticing, but there is now body oils, face oils. Honey, right. I'm all about those oils. I oil
I
up my ass
my own
every
face
day.
Oil. Yeah.
There you go. So you could rub that and then just do the neck with it.
Yeah, expel it from your pores and then just yes. rub it back.
Rub it back in, honey. Right. Yes, free oil. But no, I don't know why. Like, I just feel like a cream isn't as satisfying. But now that there's body oils, honey, you look like J-Lo. Like, you really do look like J-Lo from, like, the Jenny from the Block video. Like, I'm just like, damn, wow. I'm looking like J-Lo. I'm eating like I'm in Tuscany. I am living my best damn core life. So right.
I
recommend
I like
buying J-Lo that body oil.
On her worst day, I would take that.
Right.
She's... Same.
I think we all would. I started using coconut oil because I have to cut my hair so low on my head. My scalp gets really dry. So I got into the oils through coconut oil.
Yes.
And I started, that would help keep my scalp moisturized. And then I was like, fuck it. Like I'm always quite ashy living in this dry climate. And I started using coconut oil here and there. But I don't, is that good? Is
yes.
that fine?
Coconut oil is an oil. That's what I'm talking about. You could
right,
bring that
good.
Oil miles head to toe. You could oil up the arms, oil the feet, oil the legs.
Secondary concern. How much time do I need before I put on clothes so it doesn't look like I had a bag of French fries spilled all over my clothes?
You know, that's your own personal preference because that is a mood.
Right.
We call that
just your clothes are like transparent in places.
We call that nude minutes. When Cameron Esposito came on Natch Butte, she was like, I do nude minutes. So I come out of the shower, I do my body oil routine or what, and then I have my nude minutes. And then I put on my clothes.
Ah, and that helps any kind of staining or damage from the oils.
Yes.
That's all I need to know. Because all the time I'm like, I just feel like it's easy to put on my legs or whatever because I'm like, my jeans would never know. But there are other times I'm
My regular moisturizer has been making me break out lately, too. I don't even know why, but I got
Well, you know what? My myth might help that.
Ooh.
Okay, what's the myth?
Seamless.
Okay. So, yeah, I didn't even plan that. So... The myth is you don't need sunscreen if you don't go outside. So during quarantine, you don't need to be doing sunscreen. That is wrong, honey. Mm. The sun is getting us through the windows. And it is making it's making all our skin look like shit. I mean, I was like, why do I look like shit? I'm not going outside. I'm not wearing makeup. It's because I wasn't doing sunscreen and all these damn windows in this sunny condo were fucking up my skin. So none of you are safe. None of you are safe, okay? Sunscreen every day. Even if you're in quarantine and you're staying in your damn house, you got to sunscreen up because the sun is getting us.
So what do you mean just from not having protection when you say, I can't imagine how your skin would ever look like quote unquote shit. But what do you mean by that? Like, what were you noticing that you're like something
okay,
is happening?
I was starting to get discoloration, meaning like dark spots. And then Ben was like, hey, you look tan. And I'm like, it's not tan. It's just like darkness. Like my face was starting to get sort of discoloration and my skin tone was getting uneven. And then I noticed, you know, bless his little Jewish heart, he started getting red neck.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
You're pointing like, to the back of your neck.
He started getting sun from just being in the house.
Damn.
So we all need to be wearing sunscreen is what I'm saying. Just because you're not going outside, you need sunscreen. Everybody, you hear me? And Jamie, if you're having some issues, it might be because the sun is hurting you. The sun is still public enemy number one.
Damn
the sun
it.
Is still public there, enemy number
those
one.
Those UV radiation, that it giveth and it taketh.
I was
I'm
wondering,
telling you.
I like my skin has been on a wild journey since quarantine started. There have been weeks that I'm like, it's never looked this good. I've never been drinking this much water before. And then this week was just a plummet for reasons unclear to me. Maybe it's the sun.
I'm telling you, if you spend any time near any windows,
me every day.
He's out to get us. He's out to get us.
Helios? Apollo? Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our fourth seat by the brilliant and hilarious Jason Pargin, a.k.a. David Wong. Jason, how are you doing?
I got to ask all of you a question. Has 2020 been the weirdest year of your lives? Not the worst, the weirdest. It's been the weirdest year of mine, but I realize I have led a less weird life than some people.
I'm trying to think.
Definitely up there.
Yeah.
It's top three.
Because it's not just the pandemic. It's that the pandemic had to come with Donald Trump as president in an election year.
Right.
Like, I don't know, 2 weeks after the U.S. military announced that aliens were harassing their fighter jets. And we all just blew it off. That to me told me it was probably, this is the one I'm going to remember.
This is up there.
I was supposed to be on the show like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
The day before we were to record, a freak windstorm of 80 mile an hour winds, not even raining, just like a spontaneous gust of destructive wind hits Nashville, knocks out 150,000 homes power.
Oh my God.
I didn't have electricity for 4 days. And it was just like,
whoa.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that happens in 2020.
Yeah.
It's pretty much right in line.
Well,
with
it's also, I did have to explain to everybody when you had to cancel due to that strange weather phenomenon follows you around the country. So I wasn't shocked. I'm not going to blame it all on you, but mostly.
yeah,
on brand.
Mostly.
Because this happened in 2009 when I was at Cracked. And if someone listening to this says, well, you clearly are living in part of a country where spontaneous inland hurricanes form. No, I have moved since then. The freak weather event, that was a different state. The freak weather event arrived here. So this was twice in the last decade that the headlines had the word freak, rare weather destroys entire town, right as Jason Pargin is about to do something important on the internet.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like I remember something from the last freak weather event where like the wind was so strong it like kind of put the leaves on the trees in a blender and there was just like a wood chipper of leaves sprayed across various buildings.
Yeah, another way to put it, in Nashville, it snapped 200 utility poles.
That's freaky. That shouldn't happen.
I think in terms of like weird years, I feel like I'm too deep in it right now to be able to give myself the distance to just sort of observe what's happening, at least in the sense of like comparing it to other times, because I felt like, I don't know, I feel like a weird year for me was getting out of college. Like I still think of like how I thought, or just like because the market crashed and I was like getting out of college and like this whole idea of like, yeah, man, you get your degree and now you have a career and you're middle class now. And I'm like, dude, I'm working at a fucking t-shirt store and like kids are puking on me. And I have like, I'm out here with like a history degree, I think. But it's, this on paper, like as you say, when you tick the boxes, it's like, yeah, we just let that official DOD acknowledgement of those UFOs be like, meh, okay. There's UFOs. Forget it. No need to look into that more.
Yeah, it is shocking how many gigantic stories have just completely flown under the radar, even in the past couple of weeks, where it's just like, yep, that's bad, that's scary, but I just don't have the headspace for it at this time. Like, we'll get back to aliens harassing the military.
It's so funny because I spent the entire 90s like watching The X-Files, and the entire premise was that aliens are out there, but that the government is like desperately trying to cover them up. And here it was the Department of Defense like, letting everybody know there's some sort of, interdimensional beings or something that's harassing our aircraft. If you know something about it, if you know what planet they're from, let us know.
Drop us a tip. Tips@DOD.gov.
And meanwhile, we're going to crowdsource this thing.
Yeah, the public's like, oh, yeah, right, sure. It's like, well, this is what you've been waiting on your whole life.
People, right.
Yeah, demanding like the Area 51 files. It's like, no, here they are. We're they're
just look at that video of that Tic Tac. That's all you need to be like, oh no, we're someone either they're real or somebody knows way too much, and we're stupid as fuck, and we're way behind.
Jason, have you read the debunking or the skeptical take on those videos and like the fact that you can explain it all with just like camera movements and different things being out of focus, etc.?
Yeah, and that's the fun part to me because I've written about UFO culture a few times because I find it fascinating. It's like a new religion. It's right. And like the origins of like as a cultural force, it's really interesting, like UFO abductions and why people believe in that kind of thing and where it comes from and the subconscious or whatever, the whole fantasy. It's just funny that now we have a government that pretty much believes in UFOs and the public's just over it. Because this was in the, you know, the whole reason the X-Files was a hit is that used to be such a big part of the culture. Is this underground, it's like, man, if we could, you know, if they could let us into Area 51 or the, let us know what really happened at Roswell, which was just, it's a government, you know, radiation test balloon. And now that it's like under Trump, the fact that his government talks as if UFOs are real is like the 37th least weird thing about this administration. Like it just doesn't even, it's like, yeah, okay, we just they have so little credibility that not even that matters anymore.
Andrew, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated is fucking Sudoku, specifically playing like 300 Sudoku puzzles in an afternoon because you downloaded an app. I feel like this has gotten, if you follow all of my appearances on the Daily Zeitgeist, you'll see the pattern of Andrew slowly getting sucked into being a YouTube person. The gaming YouTubes that have been suggested to me morphed into YouTube, suggesting YouTubes of just old British men solving Sudokus.
Oh, wow.
So I got sucked into a hole of that. And then those guys had this app. So I fucking downloaded the app and just played so much Sudoku. That's it.
Did it make Sudoku. Your brain feel like it was like working? Because that's what I'm looking for, activities that makes my brain feel like it's like still rattling around in there.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be doing. I can't tell. All I know is that like, once you're on it, you just like you just keep going. It's so addictive to just be like more Sudoku. But yeah, I killed like 2.5 days on that before I deleted
Incredible.
It.
Incredible.
Jamie, I have a Mensa Sudoku book that I recommend for you.
Really?
Might be too easy for you though.
Yeah, I might just kind of blast right through it, but I'll give it a shot. I might kill 15 minutes.
Solving a Mensa Sudoku out in public. And
oh, my God. So why didn't you just read a book called Your Gigantic Penis and How to Deal with All the Problems that come along with it? Fuck off. Right. Honestly, the thing that I've been using to stimulate my brain, like I've similar to Sudoku, is learning. I'm trying to learn Spanish better because right now I just know loose phrases. I can't conjugate verbs at all. Like I just remember things very well and can do an accent that people think I'm proficient in Spanish, and that has helped me be like, yes, new things, stimulating those parts of my brain.
I've been using the Duolingo, and what I've been doing is, and this probably could work for you, Miles, is because they basically have built this economy out of like every time you make a mistake you lose a heart, and it gamified this language learning. But you can earn hearts back by doing well. But you're just all connected to one pool. So basically, I've been fucking up Spanish real bad. And then when I run low on hearts, I just switch over to Chinese because I'm still at basically like first year white person Chinese. So I can rack hearts right back up and then go back to Spanish. And
wow. You sound like a time
thing.
No, it's just like you just have lives. I mean, you could do as slow as you want. But I guess I could just cheat by looking it up. But...
Yeah. I mean, anyway. I like that it's gamified, but I'm a Babel boy myself. So, yo no tengo tiempo para juegos. No time for games. But your whole strategy of switching to
juice. I'm bad at I'm bad at Spanish.
But no, like your strategy of switching to Chinese is like when I would always pick Japanese if I ever had some kind of language component I had to fulfill mm-hmm. for anything. And they're like, mm-hmm. bro, why are you in here? I think like anybody who speaks a second language, sometimes mm-hmm. You need a break. And yeah. go to a class for a thing you already know better than the teacher most of the times.
Yeah, I just needed an extra edge and something to feel good about. So doing kindergarten Chinese exercises. And here's the other side of it that's real sad. I'm not perfect at it. I'm like good, but right. like it's literally for like 5 year olds, and I'm only okay. I'm like a B plus 5 year old.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or where you are?
Is it safe to get a haircut?
Mm. Yeah.
It is very difficult to find the answer to that question. Mm. But people have never seen like a picture of me. My hair. Well, if you've seen The Last Dance, like there's that one security guard.
Yeah.
He has like the platinum locks, like the luxurious curls. That's like what my hair looks like.
Yeah.
But it takes about 7 hours in the chair. Mullet. Yeah. In the chair to make it look like that. But where I'm at, they're reopening. Restaurants are open. And hair places, I guess, are going to reopen in maybe another week or something like that. So it is now an individual decision. I no longer have the law telling me what I can and cannot do. So I've had to start Googling, well, is it safer to go to a restaurant with 30 other people than it is to sit in a hair salon with one person and we're both wearing masks. It doesn't seem like it would be, but they're so like there's no official CDC guideline saying yes or no, is it safe to get a haircut?
Yeah.
There's all of these qualifiers. It's like, well, are you showing symptoms? Have they tested the staff? It's like, I don't know. how do I find that out?
Yeah.
It's like, how well do they sanitize the chairs in between customers? It's like, I don't know. I don't work there.
Right.
I'm talking about when is it safe for me to get, you know, because I've gone this long. I can go longer. It's, you know, my hair does have its own Instagram account. The fans are asking about it. But, you know, there's a point to where you have to move past abstinence only and into what is safe intercourse when it comes to hair.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what can you do? I mean, I feel like the only the way I feel like be safe would be like to be outside.
Yeah. Outdoor haircuts.
Haircut.
In a windstorm. Yeah, yeah. Keep those germs
away
from
you. Have like a Dyson fan. They're like, we're ensuring the safety of our customers. We're giving you this heavy duty Dyson fan to hold in front of your face. So nothing from behind you can enter the front of your face, blow it back. And then you can get the barber sick or whatever. But I don't know. It's like
the only
there's
issue
so many
is
ways to think about it that you could kind of begin to feel safe or unsafe simultaneously.
The only issue is that all of the chemicals that are used on Jason's hair to give it that look that it has would probably like kill all plants and animals behind him if they put the fan on it. So,
It's so trying to figure out what is, everything is so different from, I mean, even like block to block at times, it's like people have a completely different attitude about what can you do? What is it safe to do?
Yeah.
It's incredibly confusing. It's almost like our states and cities don't communicate well with us and there's no good place for centralized information.
Well, I think because the bottom line would be like, if you really want to know what we think, we'd probably say just everyone should stay inside until we can fully do contact tracing and proper testing and form it. But since there's a lot of pressure to open somewhat, this seems like the lowest risk version of doing it. Although I feel like most people in the sciences are like, I mean, yeah, that'll help. But really, like, we're not going to have like that same feeling of moving around or like whatever that thrill people are chasing until we can really get an idea of who has what, when and where.
Yeah.
On Twitter, there was like the viral photos when Florida reopened the beaches and they had like the photo of all of the thousands of people on the beach. And then in my Twitter bubble, you know, they like photoshopped in the Grim Reaper, like like saying thank you. But even if you look at that photo, you have some people wearing masks, walking through the beach, walking their dog, maintaining distance. They're fine. Then you would have a group of 10 people sitting close together on blankets or whatever, and they're not fine. Because open air, brief contact, you're probably okay. But prolonged contact, multiple people, close proximity, sharing, you know, paper plates, cups, whatever, surfaces, in other words. The danger, the idea that in that same photo that the danger is like 100 times worse for this person than it is for this person over here, it's really hard to parse that. And in the beginning of the lockdown, it was a lot of fun to just yell at people and say, you know, the way my Sunday school teacher used to tell us, the only safe sex is no sex at all.
Right.
And that works for a while, but you get to be 2 months into it, 3 months into it. And you guys have probably seen, you know, on Twitter and like Nate Silver, people have been tweeting, there's movement data showing people are getting out. Everywhere, not just in Wisconsin, people are slowly venturing out. No matter what they're saying in polls, people are slowly venturing out. So we have moved to a phase of this where it is like, well, okay, eating at a restaurant. A lot of restaurants here in Nashville have outdoor seating. Am I safer eating out on the patio than in the dining room? I think it is from what I've read, but good luck getting an authority to tell you like in a hard number.
Yeah, like unequivocally.
Like on a scale of risk, because we did have this, like this is all reminding me of the AIDS epidemic because I was an early teenager in the heart of that. And trying to get a super clear answer, like can I get HIV from oral sex? It's like, well, you know, you should probably wear a condom when having oral sex just to be safe, but... And eventually they got like more strict guidelines, like here's what you need to avoid doing, here's high risk, low risk. It's hard to find that now. It's hard to find out, like, what's the, because they will say, for instance, like the 6 feet social distancing. The droplets do not magically fall to the ground at exactly like 72 inches. That's just a rough guideline they came up with, because that's always been the rule for like if you have the flu or whatever, because people needed something in terms of a number. But trying to say, well, okay, am I putting myself and my family at risk by going to get a haircut now? Okay, well, what about a month from now? Is the issue that there's not enough test kits still, and that we know the hairdressers are not getting tested? I don't know. And I read for an hour trying to find the answer to it.
Yeah.
And even if you can find an answer, it's going to be a very specific answer for a very specific like area, because
set of circumstances
or ideology even.
And I mean, even, I'm sure even business to business, like it has to do with like which small businesses are prioritizing worker safety and which aren't. And like, how can you get them to honestly communicate that with you?
Yeah. And like what you, like, oh, you said, are like, are you in a hot spot where there's a good chance that people have it? But even if you look it up and I say, well, okay, Nashville has, I don't know how many thousand cases, but if I then find out that 80% of those are in nursing homes. Or in some town, you look on the map and it's got an outbreak, but you find out that outbreak was entirely in a meatpacking plant. So, okay, if I'm out in the suburbs and I'm going to Master Cuts or whatever the haircutting chain is called to get my haircut, does that, you know? And it's funny because we look back on people in old-timey days when they didn't know anything about disease and they thought that like bad humors in the blood caused sickness. But we're finding out right now, when it comes down to like how germs are transmitted, we still don't know anything. The average person, I mean, like the common everyday knowledge in terms of how people shocked to find out how long you have to wash your hands to actually get the germs off them. You know, that's something that feels like we should have all learned in kindergarten. But it's like, oh, no, if you're actually trying to kill germs, you've got to wash for a really long time. And if you, you know, go rewind by a year and just watch people washing their hands in, say, a men's restroom and count what percentage actually were disinfecting their hands, I'm going to guess it's right around zero.
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah. And also we have the terrible example of films that are in media where it's just like, just let me splash a little water on my hand and then immediately
it's just
go.
The technicality of getting them wet is.
Does it's like
job.
Is washing. And I think a lot of people too, like if you're not really like aware of all of the risks and things, you'd be like, well, you just have to normally just wash your hands, you know, when you go to the bathroom or something like that. It's like when I walk through a store, like, why am I going to wash my hand? No, like there's not pee or poo there. That's what like where people I've like I've even found myself, even when Jackie, when she came on and we were talking about her opening the my third eye to the length of hand washing, I'm just sort of like how limited, you know, like what the risks were that were real to me. And it just takes a second for you to like open yourself and be like, oh yeah, that is a vulnerability. And I wonder if that's just a thing too, we talk about people just sort of rejecting this feeling that they could be at risk, and that's how they sort of reassert their feeling of like virality or feeling alive, is by being out there with no mask.
Has anyone seen, there's been some signs at least popping up in Massachusetts. I haven't seen them near where I live, but signs in the front of businesses that say, do not wear gloves while you're in here. I had my weekly family update call, and across Massachusetts, at least there are signs that say, don't wear gloves in here, wear your mask, but don't wear gloves because like your gloves will just bring in the germs from the place you just were. There's no point in wearing them. And like you,
if you're not changing them every time.
They're like, just sanitize your hands before coming in and after you leave. That's way like more helpful to yourself and other people than wearing gloves from store to store to store, because then you're just spreading germs.
It's almost like you guys have to deal with the germs. I'm just keeping them off my hands. But like, I don't give a fuck about you guys.
They're like, I got these hand condoms that I fuck the town with and I never change them.
Turns out gloves in the store is a selfish approach, or at least that's the tack Massachusetts is taking.
Well, it makes sense because I see like, unless you see people, I've seen people who clearly discarding their gloves, like medical professionals, like with the right technique and right. discarding right. them when they leave a store or whatever or about to enter. But then, like you're saying too, there are a lot of people who are like the one pair of gloves gang.
These are my gloves. Just like, yeah.
I don't want to wash my hands because I wear these gloves. And it's like, and then I'll touch them.
Realistically, I don't have access to that many gloves. So
I don't either. Like, so I'll wash my hands.
So it's like, yeah, just sanitize your hands.
I'm fine enough knowing that the hand washing is sufficient that I don't have to wear a glove in anywhere as long as I'm not touching my face or anything afterwards.
Learning
I guess something that didn't occur to me until Jack brought up like the way we see hand washing in pop culture. I'm now thinking about all of the funny germaphobe characters like Monk and what was the Jack Nicholson movie where he played
As
like,
Good As It Gets?
Yeah. And now I wonder if I went back and watched them, I'm not even sure that Jack Nicholson was washing his hands long enough in the scene that was making fun of how much he washes his hands.
Yeah. And the same he's thing a fucking with, oracle.
Yeah. With, well, no, I'm saying that even he wasn't doing it enough. I'm saying that even looking back, like with Monk, and they would have like some hilarious thing where he would pull out his handkerchief before he would touch something dirty because he didn't want to get his hands dirty. It's like, that's not sanitary. That handkerchief can carry.
Yeah, you want to start nitpicking his compulsions.
But these were held up as like, you're an unmanly weirdo who needs medication because Jack Nicholson, thank God, took medicine at the end of the movie that cured him of his hand washing obsession. Where now you have to look back. It's like, okay, even that comical exaggeration of what, you know, sanitation is was actually not. No, they actually, he didn't go 20 seconds.
I'm pretty sure the medication he took was love, of a good woman in Helen Hunt.
But example for us all.
I need to see that movie. I've never seen it.
Oh, I really used to love that movie. I haven't seen it.
My mom has a cookie that was sent to her as a promotion because she votes in the Golden Globes, and all the time they get these like interesting gifts to be like, please vote for our film. And As Good As It Gets had like laser printed like stills from the film put onto like frosting onto cookies. Like this was the early wave of printed cookies. And my mom got such a kick out of that shit. She fucking kept that shit in the refrigerator for fucking years. I would almost be willing to wager that if I go to her home right now, that cookie may still be in the refrigerator. Because I asked, dude, get rid of it. She's like, no, but it's Jack Nicholson. And it's so interesting. It's on this cookie. I'm like, it's old trash. But, you know, salute an immigrant mom for never wasting anything, especially if it looks like it was expensive.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I honestly, I think maybe we're all learning how much we underrated live music. I'm discovering this myself. Like, I took it for granted, you know, that I'd be on tour for weeks at a time. I could technically see live music every night, and usually decided, I need to take a break. I need a nap. I need to go talk to people. I need to catch up on work. I need to, you know, like after two nights with one band on tour, you're kind of like, okay, I get it, right? No matter how much you like that band. And now I'd give anything to be in a loud room going, what? Over a beer, you know?
Right.
But I think I just didn't understand how much that was a part of my social life is getting together and how good it is for our mental health to see people gather and share an experience like that, and also my own mental health, just being able to vent about what I'm pissed off about every night is invaluable. So
you just play loud.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of recommend everyone do it once, right? Like be in a punk band and yell about the shit that pisses you off.
Because
my neighbors aren't appreciating it right now.
I'm sure like a lot of, you know, what your fans get out of it is similar to what you get out of it. And I'm sure they're missing that too.
It's wild to see people comment and really just, yeah, to see how much people miss it and be like, oh yeah, this is a thing that I could go to any shitty bar at any time and go see a band in Baltimore, right? Like there's so many bands in Baltimore. It's a great music scene. And the fact that I was like, nah, I'm good. 90% of the time, I'm like, man, like I really hope that I don't take it for granted in the same way in the future.
I'm just dying to go to the Echo and see one of LA's 3,000 psych surf rock bands play.
Go see some shoe.
I mean, I mean that really flippantly, because like when I was playing in a band, I'm like, why is everyone playing the same fucking psych surf rock shit? But I really want to, like, now I'm like, fuck it, bro. Like, I'll go.
You're,
I want
to
be there.
I'd love to. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I love that super
Beers
cool shoegazer effect you put on your, with all your pedals on that guitar. I love it, bro. Just keep doing that. But it just got to the point where I was watching YouTube videos of my band playing and like sending it to my room, like, dude, remember this show? Oh,
dude, man. Do you need someone to talk to? That is, that's very heavy.
I had a very vivid fantasy yesterday of just like making an excuse for leaving somewhere early, which I do all the time, but just being like, yeah, sorry, I've got like a thing tomorrow. So like, it's been great seeing everybody, but I got to get the fuck out of here. I'm like, man, nope. I'm rusty. I'm not going to.
That is one of my top skills. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about on the phone these days?
That's
like,
true.
Well, I got to go because I don't feel like talking anymore.
My dog is on fire. Yeah. I can't be
on
your
phone. Oh, I'm the opposite. I'm like, where you got to go? Where you got to go right now? What do you mean you got to go? What to do what? Shut up.
My worst nightmare. Being like,
please don't make me lie to you.
That's honestly, that's the most aggressive move you can pull on a group Zoom call is go, where are you going? Where are you going? What are you about to do?
We know you're not going anywhere, so. Yeah.
Dude, you just cried about how you got broken up with, fool. You're not going nowhere, dude. Hang out on the call with the homies.
Rough.
These are people you just met on that call?
Yeah, I just Zoom bomb calls, and they're like, dude, I told you to password protect this.
And finally, Stephen, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I was thinking my favorite one, and not a lot of people think it's true, hopefully, but the one from a few years ago about Finland not being real.
What?
There was a guy who, like, he heard from his parents, like, when he was a kid, like, they said, you know, Finland wasn't real, and he went on Reddit about it, and it just had some very, like, loose evidence, and he did it as a joke. He thought, hey, look at this funny shit my parents told me, and but then some people were like, hey, that adds up, and then some like Finnish people were like, I exist. And
that's funny. A great place for a conspiracy theory to end is just people screaming that they exist.
I exist.
Like, not just that the country isn't there, but like the landmass is not there either.
Oh, wow. Australia is a big target for this sort of conspiracy theory with the flat earthers, I believe.
But why Finland? So, like, of all you feel places. Like things like that are born out of like some kind of weird white supremacist ideology too. So why erase like a Scandinavian, like Nordic country? Like, what's the point?
Too good to be true, man. Too good to be true.
Oh, dude, don't even get my mind around a place like Finland. Oh my god. Ugh.
I feel like that's like only a matter of time that just like any country that has like decent infrastructure and values its citizens' lives, they're like, that place actually doesn't exist. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Must be fake. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and we're going to bring in super producer Anna Hosnier, who also watched The Last Dance and was very, it was fun to watch The Last Dance with you, Anna, over text. I just really enjoyed your observations. You really, like, got into the series and, like, were surprised by things that I had taken for granted. There are very interesting characters that just get kind of glossed over in this. I think Rodman being, like, he doesn't get glossed over, but I mean, he's probably, like, you leave the documentary, I think most people thinking he's probably more interesting than Michael Jordan.
I agree with that. I'm a huge Dennis head. I was going to make a video of to the leave Britney alone as the leave Dennis alone, because they're so hard on him. And it always, you know, actually on the Ethnically Ambiguous episode that dropped today, we talk a lot about how, because these are black men, they are always held to a higher standard of how they are supposed to act. And no matter what they do, it overshadows the fact that they actually are these incredibly gifted athletes. Like, Rodman came in and he delivered in every game, regardless of where he was or who he was partying with. But, like, no one can look past that, because it's like, well, you know, there's a higher
wedding dress.
Yeah, there's just always a higher standard when you're a person of color that you have to meet in order to get that sort of respect.
Well, I think he also had a whole bunch of toxic masculinity going against him as well. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the other ways he's like, there were many levels at which people were finding ways to, like, fault him when, you know, I think if Dennis Rodman were, like, a rookie this year, or, you know, a year ago or something, and we're starting to see this evolution, like, man,
he's cool.
This guy's an interesting guy.
He's a cool guy.
He's great.
There's
watching
coding.
Him hit someone with a chair was what a treat.
He had to do that wrestling, sorry to say. He had to. That's a great
He
gig.
Had to. That's essential work.
There's, like, coded language that in sports, it even comes up in that episode or in this last episode that was on, where when it's a white player, there's all this, like, boy, so scrappy. He's a gym rat. He's a, like, Steve
Kerr.
It's like, well, yeah, he's got heart. You can tell he worked for everything he ever did. You did not hear that applied to Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman, it's like, or any of the, like, Scottie Pippen's, like, grew up in the hood, escaped right. getting shot, used his natural basketball gifts to escape the hood. Like, there's none of the talk of how hard Dennis Rodman worked, because I'm telling you, he worked out more than anybody else on that court, probably any two of them put together. But with the little white guy, it's always, well, you know, he earned everything. He, you know, he's scrappy gym rat.
Because, you know, and going up to those brothers, you know, because who knows what kind of eugenic stuff was going on back in the antebellum period. It's like, what the fuck are you trying to imply with all this shit? It's like, it all goes back to, like, Mandingo, Other Eyes, like, the horsepower on these men kind of bullshit. Yeah. But yeah, it is frustrating to hear that.
You get the same thing in football when there's a black quarterback and it's like, well, right, will he be more of a Warren Moon or a Michael Vick? It's like, well, why can't he be a Joe Montana? It's like, I don't even know if they notice themselves doing it.
No.
But it's something that
I do not.
Documentary didn't like to talk a lot about because, again, this stuff happened during the LA, the Rodney King riots. Like, this was the 90s. This was flashpoint for a lot of these issues. And that Michael's whole thing was like, no, I'm just not going to be that guy. Right. I don't know. I know that nobody wants to watch a whole episode dedicated to that stuff, but
I would.
It's like, I think
we brought that up, and I think it would be interesting to see someone like Michael with his outsized figure and, you know, how important he is to the culture, to even hear somebody wrestle with that of saying like, that puts me, I have a choice to make. If I speak my mind, I will most likely completely like evaporate everything I've accomplished.
Yeah.
From a financial aspect, professionally, I don't know, maybe my game is too good for somebody to bench me, but I know there will be problems if I open my mouth. And I would love to hear a very honest conversation about that with him, Magic, a lot of the people involved, just because I think that's important for people to hear, because I think on certain levels, people have moments where they're like, should I speak out? And you start weighing what the risks are. And sometimes you're like, that was actually a good call. This person actually didn't end up being worthy of my defense. Or you might say, or you might feel deeply guilty about it and say, oh my God, I may have been able to do something that would have changed the outcome. Whether that's for us on our level of maybe I could have helped somebody out on a personal level, or Michael Jordan and be like, what could I have done societally? I think that's a very, very nourishing conversation to witness and for people to begin to process, because we were living in an age of where we're having to figure out if it's worth speaking our minds, or rather we just want to keep it low and keep, you know, not have too much turbulence and, you know, thrive that way. It's interesting.
Yeah. I was curious as to, like, I mean, I felt like in general, the documentary didn't give Dennis Rodman a really fair, like, I don't know. I mean, I know it's not about him, but it seemed to glaze over a lot of the Dennis Rodman stuff in a way that like it warranted further discussion. And I wonder, I'm like, who is the person making the call to not explore? I mean, like what you're both talking about, because it fits into the story perfectly. There's space for it. There's space for an entire episode of discussion. But is it that Michael doesn't want to have that discussion? Like, at what point in the production were they like, oh, this would, because it's clear that like as a network, ESPN has wanted to have that discussion. We saw that in the OJ documentary, but it just, I'm like, I was just curious of like, where did that stop? Where did they say we're going to go up to here? And then for whatever reason, we're not going to go any further and just make it a whatever 20-second segment.
Well, I feel like Jordan from the start has made it very clear that he doesn't like discussing the politics of certain things, you know, like it's all very like, keep it to the basketball, keep it to the game, keep your head in the game.
Keep it to the shoe consumers.
Yeah. Keep it to the shoe consumers. Republicans buy shoes too. Like he likes to keep it. I mean, and that's, you know, that's a problem with the whole situation as well. Like he never felt comfortable to step out of line either, because that's, that was his reputation.
But that's also the power of white supremacy, because you're a man of color. You are, All we have are examples of how bad shit goes when you want to call out white supremacy. So, and again, I think these are such interesting conversations, especially hear Michael Jordan talk about it. I think, you know, maybe we need that Dennis Rodman spinoff or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. But I get too, like,
Craig Hodges spinoff.
Yeah, but sports are an escape, and I think that's a calculated risk they make. Is like when you start getting into things about, you know, everyone wants to talk about Michael Jordan and the Bulls and that run. Everyone loves it, clearly, by this. Now, does everybody want to have a really deep, nuanced conversation about, you know, the hegemonic power of white supremacy in sports and our culture and what there leaves our greatest heroes and their decision-making? That's where we're like, well, man, maybe we can do that a few years down the road. But I think that's probably what the risk, or at least what they were their calculus was.
Yeah. Even talking about, like, Scottie Pippen's upbringing, and almost framing it like it's this Charles Dickens story where it's like, wow, in one bedroom house with 13 kids and three of them were paralyzed. And it's like, okay, because and they put that in because it informs his decision later to take a tiny contract that is a fraction of what he was worth because he was sending the money back home.
Right.
There's huge implications there in terms of how he had to live his life based on where he was from and why the place he was from was like that.
Right.
That you kind of like it just becomes like storybook, well, inspirational. And you still see this in like draft guides, like, you know, grew up under tough circumstances. You know, right. Father was killed in prison when he was 13. It's like, okay, let's talk about that. Because you now want to immediately switch back to the sports, but the whole point of a 10-part documentary is we're going to go off the court. We're going to go behind the scenes and show the real people and what really makes them tick. And you spend so much of it on the practice court and on the bus, and it's like, man, every decision Scotty had to make, everything about his attitude, about the way he talks to authority figures is informed by where he's from. And he's a fascinating person because there's all these conflicts because he knows he's great, did not want to overshadow Michael, was playing with someone who knew that if he felt threatened by him for 1 second, he would just destroy him. Scotty had to balance this in a way that Michael didn't, you know, and obviously Michael's father was killed. That's a tragedy. But the support, you know, from his family and everything. And the same thing with Dennis. Dennis Rodman was homeless for 2 years out of high school and just stumbled onto a basketball court. And now it's like, oh, it's all piercings and Kim Jong-un and hair dye. It's like, man, everything that he did was informed by where he was raised, and where he was raised is like that for a reason. And you could say, well, but that's too big of a subject to get into on a basketball doc, but I don't know. I thought the whole point was like talking about what a cultural phenomenon he was and this team was and how it extended beyond sports and it extended beyond America. Okay, well, can we talk about this other stuff too instead of just it's like something that's kind of mentioned in passing?
I feel like we have a very thorough understanding of how Michael Jordan sees everything. Like that's what the documentary gave us or how Michael Jordan wants people to see everything. But that's it.
But I think that's a thing everyone wanted too, though, based on everyone tuning in, week out. Just there was something about that getting into the head of somebody that people, you know, most people who were growing up in the 80s and 90s probably had a poster of or some kind of Bulls something. So
I think there's just very deep nostalgia for a time when that seemed simpler, and I think was probably simpler for a lot of people.
When our parents had really good jobs in the 90s.
Can I just say one thing? The one thing I really respect about Jordan, and I've texted you guys about this over the last few weeks, is what an open crier he is. I love that, considering he's in a sport, and he came from an era that was surrounded by toxic masculinity, and to have that much emotion and to be so open about it, like that scene with him lying on the ground bawling with the basketball after having won a championship, like and you know, crying Jordan meme, all that, you know, he's very open with his emotions, and I think that's kind of amazing. Like that there's so many layers to him in a way where you're like, okay, you know, he's this very fierce competitor, but I love how much he is just down to, like, I was gonna say ball, which, like ball in both ways,
but B-A-W-L.
Yeah, like, but like you, ball know, and
but
ball,
you know some ball, poor some poor asshole made the mistake of trying to fucking sun him over crying. I can only imagine what Michael Jordan would respond if some people like, "Hey, Mike, you crying, bro?"
Oh,
like
and
I don't
that's
even,
all he needed.
What
that's
is,
all
yeah,
he needed.
What is,
and that
he's
was
like,
all he needed.
And then he died of a mysterious poisoning about 18 months later. So who's crying now, bitch?
I wouldn't be surprised if we found out the crying meme was actually he was behind it. He's like, oh, you gonna make fun of me crying? Mm-hmm. That's all we needed. Now I'm a meme that you will never forget.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.